A new study is offering a detailed picture of how geographic location affects future income. Researchers at Harvard University's Equality of Opportunity Project went back to a set of data collected years ago in an experiment from the early 90s, when the U.S. government gave vouchers to help poor families move to better neighborhoods, and then compared the outcomes with families who stayed where they were. The results initially showed little benefit. But now researchers at Harvard have additional data that looks at the earnings of the kids in these families as they grew up. It found that their location as children made for big differences when they became adults, and that each year spent in a particular place cumulatively affected the child's adult earnings. Ben Scuderi is one of the researchers with the Equality of Opportunity Project, and he says the new data reveals the problem of concentrated disadvantage.
It's just basically, it's a sociological concept that when you have a lot of people who are living in deprived conditions close to each other, they basically don't have the social capital to leave that bad situation.
The New York Times has published all of this data in an interactive feature, and it's fascinating to drill into the county-by-county data for Vermont. To get a perspective on that, we turned to Vince Baldock, professor of sociology and anthropology at St. Michael's College in Colchester.
There are a lot of great things about this this research effort. One of the things that I like most as a sociologist is that we're looking at social structural factors, or we're looking at groups outside the individual. And that's wonderful. That's the very basis of what sociology does. So if we're looking at mobility, for example, rather than just looking at individual effort, we're able to look at the whole community, a town, a neighborhood, a county, as different phases of this research are doing. And it's clearly showing independent effects of geography, about where you live, on the outcomes and how well you do. And that affirms my whole discipline. So I'm obviously very, very happy about that. I've also always been particularly interested in neighborhoods and the impact of being close to other people. And this underscores that this is important.
Let's talk a little bit about the data. So I'm using the New York Times interactive feature, which has generated a lot of buzz among people because you can get down to the county level and see how income mobility works for your area and your neighborhood. So looking here at the New York Times interactive map, it suggests that a child who grows up poor in Chittenden County is not in a great spot in terms of being able to have upward mobility. So it suggests that perhaps instead of living in Burlington, that child's family should move to Franklin County to the north. Still a fairly small population size in Franklin County and not a wealthy county by Vermont standards. But Franklin County is pretty good by national standards for income mobility. It's better than about 65% of counties around the country. Vince Baldock, you suggested, though, that that doesn't mean that every family in Chittenden County should just up and move to Franklin County and expect a better outcome for their children.
That's right. Yeah, when we deal with big statistics like this, we're always talking about probabilities. We're not talking about individuals. The role of the individual in mobility is still extremely important, very difficult to quantify. These researchers have made a terrific effort at quantifying data in aggregate, but it's really only true in aggregate, and as a large group of people. And I can see why Franklin County would do a little bit better in this because of some of the characteristics that they have as a community, such as I'll bet they do have greater income equality and probably less segregation which is one of the measures they use, and good schools, and I'll bet good social capital. Their crime rate would be low. I'll bet the participation in voluntary associations, one of the measures that these researchers use, and religious attendance are all very good up there. And so by this research, one can understand why a young person growing up there should do well. But again, that's as an aggregate, not as an individual. This may not apply to your child or to my child, but it may to 100,000 people. And my worry, of course, about small numbers is that We take them too individually, too personally, and that may not be warranted.
Yeah, so when you look at something like that, you also have to take into account jobs. Vermont has low unemployment, but certain counties in Vermont have higher unemployment than others. And so, you know, one of the factors for an individual family would certainly be, can we find jobs here? Or is there enough childcare here, which might be an issue where you may have more opportunities for something like childcare in a place with a higher population base. So how does that all sugar out?
Sure. Yeah. Remember, in talking about these rates, as this study does, they're showing, for example, in one of the tables that I have before me, that in the most mobile counties in the United States, San Jose, San Francisco, they find that the highest rate of mobility is about 12% of people who are born into the lower quintile economically, reaching the highest quintile. And in the lowest rates of mobility are found in places like Milwaukee, where the rate is about 4%. So that's a statistically significant difference, but it's not huge. It doesn't explain everything. There's so many other variables going on here. It's one of the wonderful and enticing things about studying this is because there are hundreds of variables. And if they've been able to identify the five that they really focus on, that's great success. But I'd be skeptical about applying it to every individual.
Hmm.
When we look at the whole map of the United States, we see some huge differences between regions. And the text, of course, is very clear on that also. The Northeast is actually pretty good in terms of encouraging mobility or facilitating mobility, and the West, but the South is just really having problems with that, apparently. When I teach one of my classes in demographics, and we look at different states, at the first week of class, I always tell the students, keep an eye on a couple of your favorite states in the South, and let's see where they appear repeatedly as we look at different rankings for all sorts of different measures of well-being. And southern states really, with great frequency, appear on the low end of the best measures and on the high end of the worst measures, like crime rates and various health measures and so forth. And this certainly corresponds with that in terms of mobility. The effect of a lot of people being together who all share similar disadvantages or advantages is cumulative. And so you can really see the effects on mobility. So I applaud this study for recognizing that as well as it does, as well as to take it beyond even that high level of geography to international differences. We certainly see some big international differences in mobility also.
That's Vince Baldock, professor of sociology and anthropology at St. Michael's College in Colchester. We asked him to give us his impressions of data that was just released by the Equality of Opportunity Project at Harvard University, which looks at how childhood neighborhoods affect income mobility. You can see the New York Times interactive data that goes deep into county-by-county income mobility data in Vermont, too. We have a link on the Vermont Edition Facebook page.